We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Dynasty Tradecast on RotoViz Radio, brought to you by the Blue Wire Network. We are in Combine Week. Combine is underway. We're going to record a podcast where we're going to talk about stuff, and then it's going to be outdated as soon as you listen to it. So welcome to the pre-Combine, pre-draft podcast. We're going to be talking about more so the focus of today's podcast is going to be who has the most to gain, most to lose, risers, fallers, projections based on the combine, pro day, interviews, what's going to happen pre-draft. Obviously, when it comes to, you know, risers and fallers between February and April, a lot of that is pending draft capital. But between now and the NFL draft, it's like, okay, what are the things that are going to impact the potential draft capital and thus will future impact the dynasty value? So we're going to go over some of the big names, but some of them aren't going to really change between now and April, and then some of the small names as well. So, Dan, let's start off. We can just do a quick talk about the top tier-ish of quarterbacks. So it's pretty much widely regarded that Caleb Williams is in a tier of his own, and then Drake May, Jaden Daniels are in tier two and are projected to go picks two and three, maybe picks two and five in the NFL draft for Jaden Daniels and Drake May. So, first, is there any argument for Daniels and or May to join Caleb Williams in Tier 1 pre-draft?
I have Jaden Daniels there just because of his more Lamar Jackson-ish type play. And I know that Caleb Williams can run and he can get out of the pocket and make the plays and do all of the things. When you have a running quarterback that can throw and is, I mean, very apt, you know, he's better coming out than Lamar Jackson was as far as throwing the ball goes. Slight build, yes, we get that. But for me, because of the upside, it's Jaden Daniels strictly because of the what I would argue is a significant rushing floor, whereas Caleb Williams, he can run, but I don't see him in that, like, big-time tier. To me, it's going to be more along the Aaron Rodgers line where, yeah, he's going to have a few hundred, but I don't see him rushing for like 700 plus where Jaden Daniels will.
No, but that's the modern amount of, it sounds ridiculous, the modern amount of mobility for the quarterback position. The Joe Burrow, the Pat Mahomes, the Aaron Rodgers, the guys that run just enough to protect themselves and just enough to run for the first down without like designing runs for themselves the way Jaden Daniels, Lamar Jackson, et cetera, would do. I think that Drake May is probably one of the more pocket passers in this draft, with Caleb Williams being, you know, both. He's got the pocket and he's got the mobility as well. I'm not as high on Jaden, like, weirdly. After his freshman season, I loved Jaden Daniels. I went out and acquired him in every single Devy League that I could, and then he was really bad in his second season at Arizona State, transferred to LSU, and during that time, I released him or traded him for pennies on the dollar. And then he had a huge breakout in 2023 and a solid year in 2022 to lead up to that. With that being said, though, I think it's a clear tier of his own for Caleb Williams at this stage. The only way that that changes, I think, if for some reason we hate a Caleb Williams landing spot, which is probably the Bears at this point, which I actually like with DJ Moore, or if Jaden Daniels lands in some dream landing spot, which I don't even know if it exists.
So I don't know that it matters as much for Jaden Daniels as long as it's in a somewhat running quarterback friendly system, which, you know, can be a little bit more difficult. But one of these top teams, you know, if he goes to the Commanders, and we saw what Sam Howell could do getting out of the pocket, and they have the weapons, I would argue that that's a better spot for Jaden Daniels than the Bears would be for Caleb Williams. So I get it. The kid's a playmaker, Caleb Williams. My issue is he's coming out like he's already the best thing ever. He's asking for ownership stakes.
Stop with the nonsense.
It's not false. That there are quite literal reports. He has said it.
There are reports that, like, I have eight eyes. What does that even mean?
He said it. His dad is a buffoon, and that's his manager. So he hangs onto the ball one for way too long, and people are like, oh, he's so patient. No, he's not patient. He hangs onto the ball for far too long. And everyone blames the USC offensive line. For the love of God, they played in the Pac-12. There's no one there. He can make plays left and right with his eyes closed, if that's the case. Did he have the weapons? Probably not. But when you are supposed to be better than everyone, that shouldn't matter. He did nothing for USC outside of throw a decent amount of yards and some touchdowns. I struggle with the mentality of it with him. I feel like these guys need to have like a chip on their shoulder or something to chase. He's already a multimillionaire, right? He's got the lavish everything. I know he's good. I'm not arguing that he's not good, but he could have that Manziel mentality where he's coming in just not caring about anything and not taking it seriously because it's just money in a game.
Dan, I think you're sounding like a Karen right now.
I'm fine with that. I'm taking Jaden Daniels.
Okay. Caleb Williams, three seasons in college, three seasons with above a 10 AYA, which is elite at the college level. Jaden Daniels had a solid first two seasons, 9.4, 9.0. And then had a very sluggish 7.1 and 8.0 in 2021, 2022. And then, of course, the Heisman winning 13.6 AYA in his fifth season. I'm an early declare guy. 5 years in college, not a great thing. Caleb Williams, 3 years in college. Those are the separators for me with Caleb Williams, why he's in that tier one by himself. I'm also a Drake May guy, but I am open due to the rushing upside with Jaden Daniels to the idea of potentially having him as the fantasy QB2. I do think the Commanders would be crazy to take Jaden Daniels over Drake May from an NFL perspective, but I think from a fantasy perspective, you could very much pre-draft, post-draft, whatever you want to call it, flip a coin between Daniels and May, and I think May's got the higher floor long-term, and Daniels obviously has the higher floor scoring early on. But those are the guys there. The other guys that might have an impact pre-draft and during this, you know, combine pro day process, guys that some guys are throwing, some guys aren't, but we have kind of the next tier, and some might say that J.J. McCarthy belongs in his own tier here, but J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix, and Bo Nix, Penix and Nix being longtime college players at a pair of colleges, kind of down the line of me saying I don't love these guys that are in college for eight different years. So I lean McCarthy here. But what are your thoughts on the McCarthy Penix Knicks tier? Is this a tier? Is one above the other?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's McCarthy pretty comfortably. We're going to probably be in the spot where we're looking at like an overdrafted Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy has been great, and I think J.J. McCarthy can kind of follow along in that. I don't think he's ever going to be someone that elevates an offense on his own. But I think he can be an efficient game manager. I think that's his game, and I think there are plenty of NFL teams that would thrive with more of that, teams that are built more defensively, that are looking to run the football a little bit and just kind of take what defenses give them. So I think that's what J.J. McCarthy brings in, which I know it's not flashy, it's not sexy. There's a lot more to be desired with someone like Penix or Bo Nix. But J.J. McCarthy to me is the missionary quarterback. He's safe. It's easy. It's, you know, I think he can do just enough. So I don't have him in that top category with Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and Drake May, which, yeah, it's probably still Caleb Williams on his own just because of the hype and what he did do in college, because it was impressive. There's just a lot of those little things that are, like, you can't teach them for him, whereas the other guys, I think, have more of, like, those quote-unquote intangibles, and you can work on other things. You can work on footwork with Jaden Daniels and Drake May. You can work on those things. J.J. McCarthy is pretty much what I would consider a finished product. I don't know that he's going to get, like, way better, but he's good enough to run an offense. I think the longtime college football players in Michael Penix and Bo Nix are going to need some work, which is tough when you've already been doing it for are they both fifth year?
No, Michael Penix played 6 years of college football.
Oh my God, that's right. I forgot about that extra year. So yeah, I mean, that's tough because he's going to be what, 24?
Yeah, so 24, 25.
So, I mean, that's always going to be a knock. And Jaden Daniels, too. I mean, he's 2 years older than Caleb Williams and Drake May. So, while I think that it is a relatively deep quarterback class in the sense of there's a lot of solid names and big arms, you really only have four quarterbacks that I would consider, like, actual NFL starters. I do like Michael Penix. I think that he has a spot. I think Bo Nix can be a serviceable backup with potential as like kind of some replacement value. But I think those top four are really the guys that we're all going to be chasing, especially in Superflex. And, you know, going back to Drake May a little bit, I would say I like him, don't love him. I've heard a lot of like Jay Cutler comps being thrown out, and I think that one makes sense. And as far as the Commanders go, is he really that much different than Sam Howell? Like,
I think so. I think that one guy is going to be, and granted, like, if you'd have asked me in February of 2022, like, is Sam Howell going to be, like, the second pick in the draft? I'd be like, yeah, sign me up. And he fell to the fifth round of the NFL draft. So, but assuming Drake May ends up going the second pick, I think that he is better than Sam Howell. Now, talking combine pro day specific, one guy who I think that we didn't talk about here that is primed to be the looks good in shorts guy, it's Slinging Joe Milton. Do you think that how poorly he played from a college football perspective will deter teams from taking a early day three flyer on him? Do you think that the looks good in shorts thing is going to actually translate to a higher draft pick for Joe Milton? Is there any hope for him? Because he has the arm. There's not much else after the arm, but he has the arm.
Well, you say look good in shorts. I think Joe Milton would look good in anything. Have you seen that guy? He's a freak. Yeah, I mean, the arm is unbelievable, but, you know, relying entirely on your arm strength without timing, without anticipation, without anything, throws a fun deep ball, but I don't know, man. I just...
Okay, but Dan, the question isn't, is he going to be a good NFL player? We know he's not going to be a good NFL player. The question is, does he have the stock to rise because of these pro days and the combine?
No, I mean, he's, I think, very much solidified as a day three, like, later on type guy. Someone is going to take a flyer on him. I think he could maybe go from being, like, a sixth or seventh rounder to being, like, a fourth or fifth rounder because of you know, the all-star in shorts. I don't know. It's interesting because he's such a freak. He's such a specimen that you can take, be like, well, Josh Allen had all the arm talent. We didn't really get to see much from him in Wyoming and, you know, Joe Milton doing this at Tennessee, et cetera. I think there were significantly more good signs from like a Josh Allen type than we saw at all from Joe Milton. All the potential in the world. I just don't know that he's going to make a real big leap regardless of how good he looks in shorts.
Okay, so is there any rise or faller at the quarterback position? You're like, okay, I definitely think this guy could rise, this guy could fall. Anyone at the quarterback position among that ilk?
I think, oddly enough, again, longtime college football player, I think Spencer Rattler is going to find a decent home somewhere and not only make a roster, but be like a solidified backup with a chance to start potentially depending on where he's going. And one of these kind of these empty quarterback rooms.
If there is a Brock Purdy in this draft, it's Spencer Rattler.
I would agree. I think he's underrated.
Here's a sneak peek, Dan. There isn't a Brock Purdy in this draft. But if there is, I think Spencer Rattler has a good shot at being that guy.
Sure, absolutely.
All right, let's go on to the running back position. We've jotted down a few names. We have Jonathan Brooks, the guy who is the longtime backup of Bijan Robinson. We have Braylon Allen, Trey Benson, Bucky Irving, Blake Corum. Is he bound for Mr. Harbaugh? Jalen Wright, Marshawn Lloyd, the transfer king, USC to USC. Audric Esteem at Notre Dame. I'll talk briefly about my favorite back in this class, Braylon Allen. I do think that a lot of his fantasy value, and this is the case with everybody, but there is a disparity between where fantasy Twitter has Braylon Allen and where draft Twitter has Braylon Allen. Fantasy Twitter thinks that Braylon Allen has a shot to be the RB1, picked in the second or third round. And a lot of NFL draft Twitter, NFL Twitter, or you know, mock drafts, et cetera, have Braylon Allen as a day three pick, which is a huge disparity from a fantasy value perspective. And oftentimes when fantasy players are above the NFL players, we often end up being wrong with that sort of thing. So are you worried if you share the, you know, I love Braylon Allen for his size, his speed, his age. He's got everything that I'm not really sure why the NFL draft complex doesn't like him. Do you share similar worries that maybe he doesn't have top NFL breakaway speed? Like, what is it that the NFL sees that might make him a day three pick?
Well, I think he's just going to be that kind of inside banger, short yardage type guy. I mean, it's more, I think, you know, he has that long, you know, build up speed. He doesn't have the short area quickness. He is big. Yes. He's like what, 6'2", 6'3", and like 250. So, he can be a banger. I think he's going to be like in a 1-2 punch type of scenario where you have that lightning and you need a little bit of thunder. So I don't see him ever as like, obviously not like a workhorse back, but I don't really ever see him even as like a 1A in a committee. I do think that he very much has a place because of his size and, you know, the potential for some short yardage stuff. But then, you know, we always have to go back to the curse of those Wisconsin running backs, Nathan.
Melvin Gordon had a good NFL career. There's no curse of Wisconsin.
Name another one. Name another one.
But yeah, with Braylon Allen, my quote unquote like coping with this is that he was only 20 years old. He's going to be 21 in his rookie year. He was an early declare. If he wasn't going day three or day two, if he wasn't going day two, why would he not have stayed at Wisconsin?
Well, a lot of these guys get really bad information at times, but wanting to come out in what is a weaker running back class, I think makes more sense. I think because of his size and, you know, potential, I will say, because he is young, he could leapfrog some of these other guys just because other teams, some of these GMs, coaches, offensive coordinators, they're going to see more potential in a young guy that has the side and the combination of skills that someone like Braylon Allen has. Whereas you have more of a finished product in a Jonathan Brooks, but you could potentially have a higher ceiling in someone like Braylon Allen just because of what he brings to the table physically.
Yeah, Jonathan Brooks listed at 6'0", 199 on the college football site. Obviously, we'll have more exact details once the combine stuff comes out. In his only season as starter, 1,139 yards, 6.1 yards per carry, 10 touchdowns. But guess what? Braylon Allen did that for 3 years. So that's my Braylon Allen take on that one, is that there's no reason Jonathan Brooks forever to be ahead of him. But in terms of combine stuff, are we over-infatuating the Blake Corum to Harbaugh connection? Is he a workhorse type back? Is he, you know, not good enough? Where are you at with Corum? Is he a day two guy?
Corum, I get a lot of like James Conner vibes from. I think he's good enough to be a 1A. But a workhorse, I don't know if I'm quite there yet. You know, he's not very big, which, you know, I think well, he's 5'7", 5'8", but he's like 210. So, I mean, he's built, you know, a little bit more like Doug Martin, if you will. So, productive, did it in the Big Ten, and I think he's got pretty darn good vision. I think size potentially can keep him back, and he's really not one of those patient runners. He just kind of goes. So, and once he gets bumped, that's kind of it for him. I think he's more going to be a volume guy rather than, you know, get away from, get out on the edge and get away from anybody or blow anybody up. He has potential to just run it a lot. And because you don't really ever see Blake Corum get tired or beat down or whatever. He can just kind of go. So he's a good enough pass catcher. I will say that. So I think he brings, again, enough to the table where he can be one of these guys and is another reason why running back has become so devalued in the NFL because they're a dime a dozen. You can find 10 Blake Corums in the NFL now, but fresh rookie contract, fresh legs, coming out after a productive college career, you know, why not? Does he just follow Harbaugh?
Yeah, I mean, I think that a lot of times, and we haven't had a ton of this recently, but I think we often overestimate the college coach is going to draft his former players shtick. I think Spurrier did it, you know, 25 years ago, and then he figured out that probably wasn't the best idea. But we'll see. I mean, I'm sure that, you know, Michigan was a team that had plenty of NFL players on it, so I'm sure that one or two are going to end up at Michigan, but I don't know if that's a direct correlation of because Harbaugh went from Michigan to the Los Angeles Chargers. So going through the list again, Brooks, Allen, Benson, Irving, Corum, Wright, Lloyd, Esteem, any of these guys do you see primed to gain value? I think that a lot of these guys, this isn't considered a fast RB class. So if any of them run fast, like if Benson runs a 4.38, a 4.36, he might launch himself into being a second round pick. If, you know, if Jalen Wright shows some really good agility drills, he might launch himself into a late second, early third. Who are the guys that, you know, could move themselves up with drills?
Well, I think you just mentioned the one I would go with, and that's Jalen Wright. I think he's kind of that athletic freak as well. So much explosiveness. He's got the sprinter speed and, you know, that can be really desirable. Hanging onto the ball, that's a problem. Doesn't have great vision, kind of a problem, but he's one of those guys. If you can get him into space and kind of create for him, he can be a real problem because of that speed. And, you know, there's a good amount of talent there as a pass catcher as well. So he can be that scat back type. And I think he's going to be one of those guys that doesn't need to carry the ball 20 times. He can carry it 12 and get 4, 5, 6 targets and be plenty productive. He would be a good, you know, kind of a 1A, 1B scenario. A lot like with Braylon Allen, you know, obviously it probably doesn't make sense to do, but you pair him with Braylon Allen, you got one banger and you got one super freak, and now you got a match made in heaven. So I think for me, it's Jalen Wright as far as the guys that could prove a little bit more. I know the dynasty community is a little bit lower on him. I think some, you know, some scouts are kind of all over the place on Jalen Wright just because they see an athlete and not really a football player, I think.
And then Audric Esteem, huge production as in his final year of college, 1,341 rushing yards, 18 touchdowns, 17 catches for 142 as well. So big production in his final year. I see the dynasty community becoming higher and higher on him. I think the NFL draft community is as well. So, I mean, a lot of these running backs, really the question is going to end up being, are they selected on day 2 of the NFL draft? And, you know, this is projected to be one of the worst years for how many guys there are on day 2. While also saying that it may not make any sense, but I think it might be a bad day 2 year, but then by being a bad day 2 year, it ends up being a good day 3 year. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. And you bring up Audric Esteem. Lance Zierlein compared him to Jamal Williams. So you know I'm in. I was the biggest Jamal Williams guy in the world. And I love that. I see that in Andre Castillo and how he plays. So I'm a fan of that one as well. I think there's going to be, you know, I think it's Jonathan Brooks and then like 4, 5, 6, you know, good, serviceable running backs and then just a bunch of guys. So, and maybe those, the serviceable ones are probably just guys too, but they, I think there's plenty of ability here where some of these guys are going to find some kind of production, probably not as rookies, but like you said, year two, year three, once they kind of get their feet underneath them and they have a better hold on some of these offenses, someone like Andre Castillo, kind of like Jamal Williams, could eventually turn into a very productive NFL running back.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, let's move on to the wide receiver position. Now, we talked about it being a down day 2 year at the running back position. It's a up, 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 up. Day one, day two, and day 3 year, the wide receiver position for the 2024 NFL draft. We have the elite prospect, the Amari Cooper, the Sammy Watkins, like the elite prospect type in Marvin Harrison, the guy that's going to go in the top four of the NFL draft. And then we have two or three other guys that could go in the top 12 with Malik Nabers, Romo Dunze, Brian Thomas. I think those are pretty much the guys that are in consideration for the top 12-ish picks. There's not much debate with the Harrison thing. I know some people are contrarian and have Nabers as wide receiver one. Do you have Nabers and Harrison in the same tier, do you have a conversation for Nabers as wide receiver one?
Well, I originally was looking more at Nabers over, but I mean, Marvin Harrison is just, he's that guy. And the more I watch Nabers, you know, I see a lot of people comparing him to like Justin Jefferson, obviously because of the LSU, and I see more Jarvis Landry, and I was a Jarvis Landry guy, but there wasn't other wide receivers in, you know, that class, whatever. So it's Marvin Harrison. After watching them a little bit more and getting through, you know, 4, 5, 6 guys in this class, it's Marvin Harrison and Marvin Harrison alone. I still think Malik Nabers is going to be a very good NFL wide receiver. And can you be an NFL wide receiver one from the slot? Ask Cooper Kupp. I think that is going to be his role. He plays best from that spot. You know, you look at someone like Tyler Lockett who accelerates, or I guess excels, and he accelerates, but Jackson Smith and Jigba kind of comes to mind there as well. So we didn't get to see a lot from him yet, but I do think Malik Nabers is the certified wide receiver too. I think he would be the one if Marvin Harrison Jr. obviously wasn't in the conversation, but it is Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah, and then looking at just the profiles, talking about early declares versus, you know, later declares, Romo Dunze, part of the reason why I don't have him in the conversation with Malik Nabers is because he is that 4-year guy. did have 1,100 yards in his third year, 1,600 yards in his fourth year. So nothing terrible in that end. But if you can get the early declare guys, obviously with Harrison and Neighbors over him, that makes sense. Now, let's talk combine. Are there any of these guys that you're – so for me, looking at the list of Harrison, Neighbors, O'Duns, Brian Thomas, Troy Franklin, Keon Coleman, Adonai Mitchell, Ladd McConkey, Xavier Worthy. I think Ladd McConkey, you know, white stereotypes aside, might seem like the guy that is going to look good in the drills, may not like test the way that, you know, you're hoping for. This has happened to me so many times with the, you know, speedy undersized wide receivers. Xavier Worthy has to run in the 4.3s. And I've been burned so many times by that guy then running like the 4.45. And it's like, okay, now he's like an early day three pick instead of like a top 40 pick. So I still like Worthy a lot, obviously early production at the college level. But I do think for his draft capital, I think his 40 time is crucially important.
Yeah, I think that'll matter for someone like him. I still see him as kind of a middle of the road NFL wide receiver two, NFL wide receiver three, even potentially. There's a lot to like there. I don't know if he can separate himself from the others in what is kind of a thick class. I think there's just a lot of guys that are going to be good enough to get into rotations, and you could kind of take your pick. I do still think it's top heavy because you have those couple elite prospects. I would even lump Brian Thomas into that not first tier, but second tier. I think LSU has just continued to do an unbelievable job with wide receivers, getting them and turning them into potential stars. And yeah, the Ladd McConkey thing, I think he's just going to be crisp. He gets it. He's smart. He's not going to blow anybody away, but I mean, Adam Thielen didn't blow anybody away either. And obviously that was a little bit different because he went undrafted. So,
okay. But Dan, Ladd McConkey, 4-year college player, never surpassed 800 receiving yards, had less than 500 receiving yards in two of those seasons. Is it just that he went to Georgia? Like, if Ladd McConkey went to USF, would anybody know his name?
Well, not if he wasn't playing in a bunch of national championships. I think that's a little bit the Georgia bit, though, right? I mean, do they have a bunch of wide receivers with big time yardage over the last however many years since AJ Green?
No, sure. Well, obviously, and more so since Kirby Smart has taken over is the bigger Georgia bit. But yeah, I mean, I think that I could very easily see Ladd McConkey being the type that the NFL likes more than the fantasy community. But there are some people that are high on him, you know, with the Cooper Kupp, Julian Edelman comparisons early on.
How many yards did you say was his best season? So 800 something?
762 in 2022.
Okay, so he had 50 more yards than George Pickens did when George Pickens was a freshman and everyone freaked out, and then he slowly got worse, but is still a good NFL wide receiver. So
no,
I'm not gonna hold the Georgia bit against Ladd McConkey. I'm not putting him up in the upper echelon with these guys, but I do think he's gonna be a good NFL wide receiver. I just don't think he's going to be in that elite category where we have four or five other guys that potentially could be.
Okay, so any other like projections, predictions, thoughts on from now to the NFL draft? Who's a rise or who's a faller of this group? I'm guessing you're saying you think Brian Thomas might creep up in that like top 12, 14 range.
Yeah, I think Brian Thomas has a chance to climb a good bit, and I also think that Keon Coleman, if all things go well, I mean he again is only 20 years old, so I don't know, the guys ahead of him in these rankings, I think, already look more polished and ready to go. Keon, I think, probably projects more as a complimentary wide receiver, looking more like a wide receiver two. But if he can prove some of that upside that we see, that we know that he has, and start kind of building on it, even just by starting with drills, by looking good, by interviewing well, and getting a little bit extra draft capital out of him, I think he can make a big bump up when we start to look at, you know, dynasty rookie season, and he could be jumping into that Brian Thomas area instead of, you know, a little lower in that like 8, 9, 10 range where I think a lot of people have him down by like, the Mitchell kid from Texas and Ladd McConkey. You know, there's room for growth for him. I don't think he's going to leap into that top tier, but I think he can get into that 5, 6 range.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's wrap up with our favorite position. We do have the tight end position, which it does seem like it's pretty top heavy. By the way, top heavy, I mean number one. We have Brock Bowers, who is being considered among the Kellen Winslow Jr., Kyle Pitts, like that tier of top 10, you know, Vernon Davis, top 10 tight ends. We don't see a lot of them. Obviously, Eric Ebron's one of the flops of that group. And then we have Da'Tavion Sanders, Jaheim Bell, Cade Stover, and Ben Sinnott. Let's talk more so. So Brock Bowers, it's not a conversation of where does Brock Bowers rank among the tight ends. It's more so where does he rank in – we'll talk about, you know, I don't think he is here, but let's talk about where does he rank in the tiers of Superflex tight end premium rookie rankings. Like, is he in the conversation for one? Like, and let's say in this scenario, we're talking as if he is a top 10 NFL draft pick. Some mocks have him dropping to the Bengals at like 15 or 16. But let's say he goes to the Chargers at 5 or somewhere in that range. Do we have Bowers like below Harrison Neighbors, Williams, Daniels, May? Like, where does he fit in Superflex tight end premium among QBs, wide receivers? Because I'm pretty sure everyone's going to have him above every running back.
Yeah, no, there's not going to be a running back that gets above him. I think this is going to be similar to a few years ago with Kyle Pitts, where, hey, I'm not going to fault you for taking him at one, especially in tight end premium. I think I'm probably sticking with Marvin Harrison Jr. there. It'd be hard.
In one QB, you're saying?
Yeah, I think those two would probably be interchangeable, especially if he's going top 5, top 8, wherever he lands. That's going to put an even bigger boost on him. And, you know, the comps to George Kittle are about as easy as it gets. So I think coming out, he's probably going to be overall at like tight end 4 or tight end 5 with room to very quickly get into the top 3 in that like Sam Laporta category, Trey McBride. You know, they got the older guys with Mark Andrews and Travis Kelce. Kyle Pitts is still up there, obviously, but I do think that he is worthy of one of those top 2 or 3 picks. And even in Superflex, you know, I know that we're always harping to go get those quarterbacks early and often as much as you can. But if it's not Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels, depending on where Drake May goes, I would consider Brock Bowers in one of those spots too. Only because he's A, going to have huge draft capital, and if he goes somewhere like the Chargers, he's going to be fed, and fed often. So we're going to see rookie production out of him, I think, no matter where he goes. And again, like the Kyle Pitts thing a couple years ago, he's worthy of one of those top couple picks.
No, sure. And we saw some early struggles from Pitts, obviously, the first few years. But don't – and I think that the guys like Trey McBride, Dalton Kincaid, like their success early in their careers have deterred some of this notion. But don't do the I'm going to buy Brock Bowers year 2 shtick. Because two things. A, he could legitimately have ridiculous production in year 1. And 2, even if he doesn't, people are like, oh, well, it was his first year, so he's going to have ridiculous production in year 2. So, like, there is no buy window for Brock Bowers unless he faceplants absolutely on his face. That's what a faceplant is. but I don't see that happening.
He would have to have a historically bad rookie season without injury in order for him to be bought. With an injury, you might be able to get him for a very, very, very slight discount just for someone that doesn't have any patience whatsoever. Now, like I said, I think he immediately comes in and he's in that like tight end 4 spot. Probably, we have TJ Hockenson, Sam Laporta, Mark Andrews is still up there. He's 28, but you know, tight ends are ageless until they hit 32. And then I think you have a really good argument to have him over the Dalton Kincaids, over Kyle Pitts, over Trey McBride. Travis Kelce's 106. So I think that they're, as far as tight end goes, but dynasty overall, he's going to have a lot of really solidified value. And especially if he has one of those high draft picks, he's going to retain that value for at least like 2 or 3 years. We've seen Kyle Pitts go from 1 to 2, from 2 to 4. He's probably floating in that 4 or 5 range now. And all things being equal, he really hasn't done a lot. He's shown it, and we knew what Kyle Pitts was coming out, but he's still got that high-end tight end value. And again, it's tight end. But he's not going to drop all of a sudden off the face of the planet and just disappear. Even guys like Eric Ebron that went through their struggles eventually had value, and they did. He started with a ton of value, held it, then lost it, then got some back and produced. So I don't fear that with Brock Bowers as much. He looks like, I mean, if we were going to rank some of the top tight ends coming out, I'm probably going to have Brock Bowers ahead of Kyle Pitts, and then you can kind of make your list from there. You know, he's not the super freak that David Njoku was, or the potential just big wide receiver that Evan Engram was, but Brock Bowers can quite literally do it all, and he kind of has that Gronk, Kittle, reckless abandon play style, which, you know, it keeps those guys on the injury report a lot. Obviously, Gronk is now retired, but it's just he's a difference maker just with his physicality. And then you add in all of the talent that he has. I mean, it's really hard not to have him in that top three or four as far as overall dynasty tight ends.
Sure. And we'll wrap up the show with the second tier or further of tight ends. So Tavion Sanders, I see him being a round two guy. And then Jaheim Bell, Cade Stover, Ben Sinnott, I can see them going anywhere from round three to round five. Are there any of these guys that you see as clear risers, you know, with these freak-sized tight ends? A lot of times we're just looking at, okay, can we get the three cone? Can we get the 40 time? Like, which one of these guys, if they test on an astronomical level, could bump themselves up a round or two?
Well, I think that has to be Jatavion Sanders. I don't know that he's going to bump up a ton, but, I mean, you talk about...
No, I mean, a bump up would put him in the first round.
Right, and that could be. I mean, if he tests well, I mean, you're looking at David Njoku 2.0 as far as I'm considered. He can put up that athleticism, those big time numbers as far as the all of the testing goes. So 6'4", 6'5", like 250, and I mean the kid can move. So I think he's the one that could potentially gain the most value, even if he's really only jumping like 10 spots. But getting into that late first round is going to gain him tons and tons of dynasty value. The other guys, I think, are, you know, I would say Cade Stover outside of Bowers and Sanders is probably my next favorite. But I don't know that he's going to be able to do a ton to move him up. He's kind of just
speaking of long time, and I think it matters a little bit less the tight end position, but long time college football players. Stover started as a linebacker in 2019, switched to tight end in 2020, and then spent 4 years as a tight end. So 5 years in college, 4 years as a tight end. It's one of those things that he's got to start producing relatively early for it to matter.
Yeah, and he strikes me as one of those like random Dallas Cowboy tight ends that turns into being good. You know, your Dalton Schultz's, your Jake Ferguson's. That to me is kind of what Cade Stover strikes me as. So I think that he could find himself in one of those roles pretty quickly, but you're right. He will have to produce relatively early because he's already at the age where he shouldn't have much adjustment. He's got the size where he doesn't like.
So he's the same age as Kyle Pitts. So.
Right. Right. So if those guys both start producing this year, we might be in trouble. We might have to argue Kyle Pitts versus Cade Stover.
Alrighty, that's our tight end talk for today. Any bold? We do have to leave, but any bold combine predictions that might be stale by the time you listen to this?
Nobody breaks the fastest 40 time.
Okay. I mean, if it is, it'll probably be Neighbors, right?
I think he's gonna be like 4.28 or something.
Yeah, but anyways, that's it for some pre-combine, pre-draft talk. We hope you enjoyed it. Make sure to rate, review, subscribe on iTunes and Spotify. And that'll do it for this week. We'll talk to you guys next week. Kadosh!
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.